Good evening. May God's grace and peace dwell richly in all your hearts tonight, and welcome. Welcome as we come and gather together and bring praise and worship to our God and our King tonight. I love nights like this, nights where we can gather together and eat some soup and even just mingle out in the lobby. My hope and prayer is that nights like tonight are opportunities for us to walk together in this life and in this faith journey, because that's what we're about here. We're about walking together here at St. Luke's, and we're about walking together and supporting each other in this life of faith. That's what the church is all about. And as we've been doing that in the last couple weeks of Lent, we've been following this sermon series, Singing the Blue Note. And if you remember back to when Pastor Dan preached at the very beginning of Lent, we talked about what that blue note means. It's a note within music that is just a little off pitch. It's a different pitch than standard. It's something that's a little out of place. It's a little out of order. And so during this time, it's given us an opportunity to stop, to reflect, and look at some psalms that I think are a little different. They're the blue note amongst the 150 psalms that we see. And so we've seen psalms of lament and psalms that express words and emotions that we may not feel safe to express on our own. And tonight, we're going to see a psalm that calls down judgment, calls down curses upon enemies. And so tonight, we're singing the blue note, looking at a different kind of psalm. And I think, just in general, as we look at Lent as a whole, I think Lent is kind of a blue note in that, like, there's so many things going on in our life. I don't know if your life is like this, but I'm going from one thing to another. I get up in the morning, I go to the gym, I come back from the gym, I go to work, and then I come home from work. Are your lives like this? And it's just like, it's just because it's constant flow of things. And then we get to Wednesday, and we stop. And it's kind of our little blue note in the middle of the week where we get some time to really reflect. And tonight, we're looking at Psalm 69, and I know that was a long reading, but it's so good. It's a rich psalm with rich language. It's a psalm of David, and if you looked closely at the words as we were reading it, it's a psalm that he wrote when he was in a time of trouble. No? There's some stuff going on in David's life when he writes these words. He's scared. He's afraid. He's overwhelmed. And this psalm is kind of controversial in nature, because towards the end of the psalm, he calls down judgment. He calls down a curse upon his enemies. At the heart of this psalm is this question of, when you're afraid, when you're overwhelmed, when there's no way out, how do you respond? What do you do? And so tonight, we're going to look at Psalm 69. And reflect upon it and look at it from different angles, which I think is good for us to do anyways whenever we're reading the scriptures. Whenever you open up the Bible and you look down, you kind of have your own perspective. You have your own angle as you're looking at it. You're reading it. You're reading those words with conversations you've had in the last 5 minutes. You're reading it with conversations and things going on in your life in the last 5 days. You're bringing baggage into the text. And that's an okay thing, because as we read with those things in mind. And so God can speak to us. You can read something that you've read 100 times, and you'll hear something completely different. Has that happened to you? That happens. God can speak to us through His Word as we go through different experiences in life. And so you may read Psalm 69 tonight, and you're like, you know what? My life's pretty good. I don't really identify with that at all. But there are going to be times in your life and in the lives of people around you where words that are expressed in this psalm are going to be very real. And so we're going to look at things from a different perspective, keeping in mind that each one of us, as we read this word, sees something probably a little differently, depending on where we are. And in fact, David, he was in a completely specific type of place when he wrote these words. He was in his own time and context, and I think for me, sometimes I have a hard time gauging where David was at. I don't always connect with things that he says in the Psalms. And that's okay, by the way. We can wrestle with that in the Scriptures. And so as I read these words in Psalm 69, I can't help but think of the prophet Nathan and his prophecy to David after he made some poor choices. Nathan said to David, "The sword will never depart from your house." You know, David, he was king. He was a man after God's own heart. But David's life wasn't easy. He had some stuff going on in his life. And sure, a lot of it was brought upon by his own doing. But even before all of the mess in his later in life, I think about his struggles with King Saul. King Saul is king. They're going against the Philistines. And then David saves the day. He kills Goliath. And David gets all this adoration. And he becomes so famous. And then King Saul doesn't like him so much after that. And so King Saul is a little jealous of him, and King Saul decides, you know what, it's probably better if David's not around. I should probably just kill him. And so much of David's younger years are spent running, are spent hiding, are spent expressing words like we see in Psalm 69, with enemies all around, ready to take him out. David says, "More in number than the hairs of my head are those who hate me." And in that type of struggle and pain, David responds in verses 22 through 28 with a proclamation of judgment on his enemies. He calls God to bring judgment down upon his enemies, to curse them. And as I read those words, I have a hard time with that. I have a hard time reading those words. Is David in a place that he can make any sort of judgment like that? Is not wrath and vengeance God's? And I think part of it for me, as I read these words and I ponder David's own perspective, I realize, you know, I don't really have any enemies. I don't know about you. I don't have anyone following me at night ready to stab me in the back. I can't remember the last time when I walked in from my car to my house that I was concerned that there was someone that was out to get me. And so I think in a way, it's hard for us to really get into the mindset of David here as we read those words. We can't fully grasp that perspective. But yet, as we look at these words in Psalm 69, David, he's not the only anointed one of God who faces suffering. I don't know about you, but when I read those words, I couldn't help but think of Jesus on his knees in the Garden of Gethsemane. I think about that night, evening of Maundy Thursday, as Jesus is preparing his heart and his mind to die. He's fully aware of what's going on as he's praying. What are those words that Jesus prays? I imagine they may have sounded something like this. "Save me. Save me, God, for the waters have come up to my neck. I sink in deep mire. There's no foothold. I've come into deep waters, and the flood sweeps over me. Take this cup from me." Jesus, as we read the Scriptures, quotes the Psalms. He had the Psalms as prayers and songs on his lips, and He very well could have prayed some of the words right here in Psalm 69 as he contemplated what was about to take place in the next day. And those words, those cries out to God, it's a prayer. A prayer of one who is righteous. One who is righteous and about to face unjust punishment. One who is about to taste the bitterness of death. One who is about to taste the bitterness of sour wine as it is put up against his lips on the cross. It's a prayer of one who takes on the reproach. The psalm uses the word reproach. I think disgrace, the shame, the sin of all. Jesus' prayer. And yet in that moment, as Jesus is on his knees, as Jesus is on the cross, facing this temptation, this struggle, this pain, this suffering, how does Jesus respond? He doesn't respond as David does with proclamations of judgment or cursing. Jesus submits to his Father's will, and from the cross, as he's looking upon his enemies, those who've put him on the cross, he says, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Father, forgive them." Jesus, in those moments, speaks words of grace, words of forgiveness. Now, I'm not one of God's anointed ones. As I read the words of Psalm 69, I don't have any arch enemies in my mind, villains to conquer. And so how do we read these words in light of our own troubles? How do we read these words in light of the enemies that we do have? Martin Luther, as he was writing some commentary on this psalm, he was reflecting on what enemies we have. And he made a good point that we don't have the same type of enemies as David probably did. And I'm sure that's not true across the board. I'm sure there are certainly people in this world right now who are facing very real enemies out to get them, out to kill them. But for the most part, in our current time, in our current context, where we are right now, I'm not facing those same type of enemies. And so what enemies do I face? Luther wrote this about these complaints that we see from David in Psalm 69. Luther says, "All the complaints in the Psalms run today most strongly against the misfortune of prosperity. For now, peace attacks even more than the sword did formerly. Clothing more than nakedness, food more than hunger, security more than difficulty, abundance more than poverty." We may not face the same type of enemies today, but we do face enemies that try to separate us from our God and Creator. And I think they look differently for each and every one of us. But these enemies are often not enemies that come from the outside, but enemies that come from within. I don't know if anyone's given up something for Lent. I don't always give stuff up for Lent. And when I do, I try to give up something that every time I can't do what I want to do, I'm like, Jesus' sacrifice is so much more than this. And it makes me put things into perspective. So I like to have ice cream before I go to bed. It's just true, okay? And so I gave up dessert for Lent. And I've actually never done that before, but I was like, I like have ice cream almost every night for dessert. It's just true. And I said, all right, I'm not going to do it. Today's pie day. And so we had pie in the office. And I didn't get to have pie. And it's a little thing, but it's in that moment I'm like, oh, Jesus' sacrifice is so much greater. You know, we have those little things in our lives, don't we? And they're trivial. We have these comforts in our lives. You go to the hotel and they don't have free Wi-Fi. What's this? You drop your smartphone as you get out of your car and the screen breaks. The enemies in our lives are often things that become more important to us than that relationship we have with our God. And oftentimes that they can be little trivial things. And I don't want to pretend up here like people don't have real enemies and real things going on in their lives, because it's true. There's so many of you in here in this room probably that have real hurts and real struggles and real trials. And maybe these words in Psalm 69 speak real truth to you. Maybe the desperation that you hear in these words is true for you in your life. And that's okay. But as these things separate us from God, as these things that we can be afraid of, things that overwhelm us, things that get in the way, how do we respond to those things? Even still, we cry out to God, save me. Deliver me. Deliver me from the things that are going to get in the way of my relationship with you. Whether they're things on the outside or whether they're things in my own heart. I think we can pray those same words we see at the end of Psalm 69. I'm afflicted. I'm in pain. Let your salvation, O God, set me on high. This psalm deals with that question. How do we respond in times of fear, in times of things getting in the way, in times of trial and tribulation? And in those times, as we read these words in Psalm 69, what I would hope for us to see, my prayer for you, is to see Jesus. Jesus, who taught us not to call on judgment and curses on our enemies, as we see in some of the later verses here, but rather respond in trust. Trusting in our God, crying out to Him, and funny enough, praising Him. At the end of this psalm, I find it so interesting, we have a word of praise. Because God's deliverance is revealed to us in Jesus, and God's deliverance is true for us now and always. At the end of Psalm 69, David says, I will praise the name of God with a song. I will magnify Him with thanksgiving. When the humble see it, they will be glad, you who seek God. Let your hearts revive, for the Lord hears the needy and does not despise His own people. Amidst our troubles, whatever they may be, trivial or not trivial, we can rejoice. We can praise. We trust in a God who has delivered to us salvation. And it's a salvation that it's not earned, it's not deserved, but has been provided for us in our suffering Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.